You've all, because the next section is going to be quite long, so you're welcome to stand as well if you wish, but either way. We've just sung what we call the Apostles' Creed. There's a hymnic version of it, with Father in the first verse, Son in the second verse, and the Holy Spirit in the third verse. But on this special day, when we think about the Trinity, we also have another creed in the church that we never say during the year, but which I think is really important that we should say, which is, as it's up there, the Athanasian Creed. And it was pulled together by a guy called Athanasius back in about the 4th century AD, when they were all discussing and saying, how on earth can Jesus have been both God and man? That was the main issue. But then, if he is God, what's his relationship to the other understandings of those persons whom we understand to be God, namely the Father and the Holy Spirit? And so they had some big discussions, they had some serious reading of the Bible and the Word of God, and they came together and they came out with this, what's called the Athanasian Creed. And so I'm going to invite several of us to come up here and read it, and we'll be reading, there are parts in it, such as this first part where, as a congregation, you read it. All right? So if I can invite our readers up, that'd be great. If we could go to the next slide, please. So this is your part to start off with. And we all say this together. This is the Christian faith, that we worship one God in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the person of the Father is one,
that of the Son another,
and that of the Holy Spirit still another.
But the deity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-equal in majesty. What the Father is,
such is the Son,
such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father is uncreated.
The Son is uncreated.
The Holy Spirit is uncreated.
The Father is unlimited.
The Son is unlimited.
The Holy Spirit is unlimited.
The Father is eternal.
The Son is eternal.
The Holy Spirit is eternal.
And yet there are not three eternal beings, but one who is eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or unlimited beings, but one who is uncreated and unlimited. In the same way, the Father is almighty.
The Son is almighty.
Holy Spirit is almighty.
And yet there are not three almighty beings, but one who is almighty. Thus, the Father is God.
The Son is God.
The Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God. Thus, the Father is Lord.
The Son is Lord.
The Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. If you come in. For just as we were compelled by the Christian truth to confess that each distinct person is God and Lord, so we are forbidden by the Christian faith to say that there are three gods or three lords. The Father was neither made nor created nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is from the Father alone, not made or created, but begotten.
The Holy Spirit is from the Father and the Son, not made or created or begotten, but proceeding.
Therefore, there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son.
One Son, not three sons.
One Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after, greater or less than another.
But all three persons are in themselves co-eternal and co-equal.
So that in all things, the Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity must be worshipped.
But it is necessary for eternal salvation that one also faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the true faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at once God and a human being. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and a human being, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
He is perfect God and a perfect human being, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
He is equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Although he is God and a human being, nevertheless, he is not two, but one Christ.
However, he is one, not by the changing of the divinity in the flesh, but by taking up of the humanity in God.
Indeed, he is one, not by a confusion of substance, but by a unity of person.
For as the rational soul and the flesh are one human being, so God and the human being are one Christ. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose from the dead, ascended into the heavens, is seated at the right hand of the Father, from where he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all human beings will rise with their bodies and will give an account of their own deeds. This is the Christian faith. Thank you. If you'd like to just take a seat there. All right. Now for all the children inside all of us, we have a children's talk. And I finally found my ladder out the backyard. I reckon my neighbour borrowed it and I couldn't find it. And he used it to get across the fence. He does this sometimes. I'm trying not to muck up the carpet here. Not sure whether this will work, but anyway, we'll see how we go. Well, I'll do it this way. Okay. All right, I thought it's on an angle. Gotta get this right. We're talking about God after all, aren't we? Now, normally, we think about the Trinity. That's far enough, Mike. With God up here, right? And normally we think about God the Father up here. And then somewhere down here, we think about God the Son. And then somewhere over here, this vague entity called the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I think you've all done this in Sunday school or seen diagrams of this triangle that's with Father at the top, Son, Holy Spirit. But what we've just confessed and what we've just heard in the Athanasian Creed is much more like this. That this is not a power structure with the Father on the top, which in some ways in our Western world and maybe generally we consider the Father being a more powerful figure, either a distant figure or a negative figure. And so by contrast, the God whom we love and who loves us and who is not just simply an all-powerful God out there, is three persons, namely God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they are a community. And they are a person in the sense of what we understand a person, but they are obviously God, as we've been confessing. It's into this Godhead that we have of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that God then creates the world, creates you and me, and invites us to be part of this community. This community in which we're not we're not subject to powers above us, but we are nurtured by the loving community of the three people. So I want to try and demonstrate this to us now and ask whether you'll participate with us, with us three people who are Father, Son and Holy Spirit, symbolically. And we're going to incorporate you, and if you can be brave enough to join each other's hands as a congregation. And for people who aren't able to move, if we can get around them. And I want at the end there to be the people at the back who don't hold anybody but have got their hands out the door. Okay? You might have to move in a bit. So if I can ask the Holy Spirit and Jesus to come over here, and then I'll go in between. And then if you go to each side of the congregation, and if you can actually, so you have to stand up for this, I'm afraid. Because this is the Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus inviting you to grab the hands of other people in the congregation. Just try and, if you can, link up with somebody so that you're part of the Trinity up here. Or else grab a, whichever way. Here we go. Yeah. And so this is the special part of what Trinity Sunday is about. And at the back of the church, we've got a free hand there, which is for anybody else who's out in the street or who's who might happen to come in through the door. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you have come into this world to show us the face of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that as people we are called into a community, and you create the community through us to be part of that in your world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for participating. And I think we have the adults part of the message now. Grace, mercy and peace from God, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit. What is your image of God, or your picture of God that you have in your head? Or the person whom you pray to, do you think of anybody in particular? Today we start off the season of Pentecost looking at God himself, or themselves, because God is not just one static entity, but a dynamic trio of three people, namely Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Is your image of God one of hierarchy, as we saw, with God the Father at the top, and then Jesus underneath, and somewhere in the back the Holy Spirit is shyly present? We've seen this in the Athanasian Creed, that that's not the way it was, or not that's not the way it is. Because in the Athanasian Creed, the three members of the Trinity seem to relate in a circle, with neither one nor the other being at the head of the Godhead. They are all there for each other, with none of them dominating. It is like an intimate circular dance in which they have different roles at different times, in which they support, love and serve one another. It's true that while on earth, when Jesus was in a state of humiliation, he was submissive to the Father. But now they are co-equal partners along with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when we read or listen to the Athanasian Creed, you might feel like this is going in circles. And in some ways it is, because it's expressing a loving, dynamic and interactive way of relating with the Godhead. The dance of love has been given a fancy theological name called perichoresis, which is a Greek word which means this concept of dancing together. It is not an attempt to understand God and put him into a little box with a formula and explanation. God is perichoresis, but an attempt to relate to a very personal and communal God who has come to relate to us and then invite us to share our lives with the community that we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have any of you read the book called The Shack? Any of you read the book called The Shack? No? If you haven't, it's worth a read, even though it's slightly controversial, because in this book, God the Father appears as a black African woman. Okay? If you can get past that and just say this is simply an image, you will love it. I promise you. I'll bring some copies along next week if you like. Because it's got, and even if you only read one chapter in it, which is called The Breakfast of Champions, in which you have the three, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, chatting together over breakfast about who is the Trinity. A very brilliant description of the church's understanding of the Trinity. And this trialogue in there reflects the Athanasian Creed as well as the Orthodox Church's deep insights into the three persons of the Trinity. No one is any higher or better than any other member of the Trinity. It is only since humans have fallen into sin that we have needed to have power structures to keep our world from falling into selfish chaos. The original relationship we have with one another was one of loving servants. That this was Adam and Eve were to be loving servants of each other. The kingdom of God, which Jesus ushered in, turns the selfish power structures on their heads, back to what they were originally meant to be. When people occasionally used to ask me, who is the head of my house? And it was usually a provocative question asking how I viewed women and whatever else. But I would quote to them a saying that is on a wall plaque in many Christian dining rooms. And you may even have one in your house. I used to certainly see them in the country places where I used to visit. It says, Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Can any of you remember seeing that plaque? Okay, great. It was very common, and it was often quite beautifully made. So I'm not the head of our house, nor is my wife Helen, but Christ is. But equally amazing is that Christ is a servant of our house who washes the feet of Helen and me, and with his love and forgiveness and the promise of new life each day. This Trinitarian God is not into power, but into love and service first and foremost. And then he calls each member of the family to be part of this amazing community of the Trinity and to be servants of one another. Equally in the church, the leaders of the church are not there to rule over the church as dictators, but to be the servants of the church. As Jesus says, when the disciples came to him with a dispute about who was the greatest amongst them, he pointed to the little child and said, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The bishops and pastors of the church are not there to tell congregations what they are to do, but as servants of Jesus themselves. They are to point to Jesus as the ultimate servant of the world. This includes pointing to the miracle that this ultimate servant of the world is also the one who created the whole universe and is part of a dancing community of love, which we describe as the Holy Trinity. Similarly, in politics, the most powerful man in Canada, England, and Australia is called the Prime Minister. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? But the actual meaning is of the word is the prime servant. The word minister means servant. So he's the first servant of Australia, Albanese. The prime servant is the one who is placed into office as the servant of every person in the country. And they oversee a team of public servants, right, who do the will of the parliament which we've put in place there, who are there to serve the public as they responsibly and fairly administer the laws of our land, which are designed to serve every citizen in this country. The only problem is they're all human beings and they don't do it exactly right. We all know that, but that's their primary function. And that's why we put them there, both the politicians and then the machine underneath it, of which one of my sons is a public servant, an economist in Canberra. And they are there to serve Australians. So Jesus' concept of the kingdom turns the world on its head. That was an accusation put to Paul when he was evangelising. He said, these Christians are turning the world upside down. And they did. That's where the church started, by the church serving the poorest and the weakest in the community. That was their hallmark. And Jesus said, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And then there is the thief on the cross who is in his dying breath was received into the kingdom of God by Christ's own invitation. The Father, Son and Holy Spirit do not start out with a power structure of who is the boss of the three of them. They begin with love and service and a dynamic relationship that allows them to be flexible in terms of their gifts and abilities and their qualities, as well as their decisions to serve all of creation, inviting all people into this new way of life. So will you allow this Trinitarian dancing God of love and friendship into your hearts, your community, your minds, and your lives? If you do, you will be gradually transformed to be more and more like them. Like all good dancers, it is never finished, and there are new steps to learn and new partners to share this dance with. We are invited into this communal dance with God as we continue to hear that we are intimately connected with this personal and amazing God. Nobody is worthy of the kingdom of God, nor worthy to be invited to this dance. And yet Jesus dies on the cross for all of us. Jesus welcomed all, and so we should also welcome all who often very tentatively enter in through the doors of our church or of our lives. We are called to be part of the invitational party, for we have been offered our invitation already and have joined God's dance. As we come to more deeply understand the identity of the Trinity and the fact that it is into this community that we have been baptized, may we also be shaped by this alternative outlook on life so that we can discover a different way of living as both individual Christians and as a Christian congregation and as a Christian church. We have been called into this circular dance of love and service in which we no longer need to get trapped into power games of status and one-upmanship. We no longer need to prove ourselves to either ourselves or to anyone else. God has proved himself to us, and that is all we will ever need. We no longer need to brag to others about who we are or what we can do or what we have done. We no longer need to put others down in order to build ourselves up. We are in the best company with the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus. This is a company of persons. God is three persons, and we have been made in the image of God, personally. This is our privileged status, as Psalm 8 described for us. On this side of the fall of Adam and Eve and us, our personhood is tragically fractured. As images of God, we have cracks through this image. But through our baptism, we are now being transformed into our new image, the perfect image of Christ, as we follow and reflect our loving servant Lord, allowing his humanity to live through us. As images of Christ, we can never be replaced by any robots or AI or computers. As God is three persons and all the people in the world are persons, so we can affirm and relate to every human being as images of God. This image of God shows us how people are to relate and live together in the kingdom of God. For this reason, we can praise and thank God for this far deeper understanding of who God is, and let it pervade our everyday lives as we share in the dance of the Holy Spirit and the Son and the Father, one God in three persons. And the continuation of this sermon will continue next Sunday, when I will be with you, and we will be talking about what is a person. We'll be talking about what is the power of the individual. And I encourage you both to be at the worship service and also to come to the discussion afterwards and the panel and hear about what it means to be a whole person and in the way in which God relates to us as a person, and we also understand ourselves and then also relate to each other. And so there's part one, part two next week, and let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your amazing way in which you relate to yourselves, and then the more amazing way in which you invite us into your relationship. We pray that you would change our and deepen our understanding of whom you are, so that we can be transformed by you to be your people, to be part of your community of love together. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.